The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Well, it looks like Christ the King Sunday is a memorable Sunday for me. 2 years ago, I had no voice, and Pastor Sadie had to preach my sermon. Today, I lose my shoe on the stair coming up to channeling my inner Cinderella, I guess. I don't know. Let us have a brief word of prayer. Lord, send out your light and your truth, that they may lead us to your holy hill and to your sanctuary. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I have been counting the number of days until this current school semester is over, 25 of them to be exact. But before the end of the semester, I have reading assignments to do, I have papers to be written, I have an approval for ordination interview with my candidacy committee from Lower Susquehanna Synod, I have forms to be completed and submitted to the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America for my assignment to a region and a synod, which is like the last step on a journey toward ordination before a call. Makes me tired just thinking about everything I have to do within less than a month. And the other day, one of my classmates, who I think has a little more time on his hands than some of us, posted on Facebook that there are 177 days left until the senior class graduates, and that's the senior class of the seminary. Gettysburg. I can tell you how to get there if you want to get. It seems as if when we are looking toward an exciting event or a holiday, we do so by counting down the number of days and the number of hours until the holiday or event actually arrives. And if you have been in a store lately, you can see that it's holiday time. and holiday season is definitely upon us. The places where we shop have known for a long time that Christmas is on its way. These places seem to bypass Thanksgiving totally, and they go from Halloween directly to Christmas without passing go, all the while letting it be known to their consumers that they are more than happy to help us count the days until Christmas. And just to sort of get your brain around this whole end of the year thing, today, Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday in the church year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday in the new church year. During this time of year, there is so much that requires our time and our attention. There's the upcoming Thanksgiving dinner to be prepared and served. And after stuffing ourselves on filling and stuffing and all those other good family traditional dishes, we have a choice to make. Do we want to go along with all the other shoppers and go to the pre-Black Friday specials right after we push our chair away from the dining room table? Or do we want to stay home and watch football? Or, my personal favorite, do we want to take a nap, just letting the tryptophan kind of take over and do what it wants? There are endless lists to be made this time of year, Christmas trees to purchase and decorate, family gatherings to organize, holiday parties, scrumptious meals to make and eat, gifts to be purchased and wrapped, if you haven't done so already, charities to give to before we lose our 2014 tax deduction, extra worship services to attend, and the must-have gifts for our children, grandchildren, nieces, or nephews, on which we will spend enormous amounts of time and money to procure. And inserting itself into this frenzy for our attention, money, and time comes today, a little day known as Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the current church year. Christ the King Sunday, the day that centers on the crucified and risen Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who reigns eternally in glory. Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain for us, the one to whom we as Christians give our allegiance. Our psalm this morning reminds the people that God is deserving of this allegiance. There is no other human king or any God that rivals the Lord. There are no holiday trappings or countdowns. There is nothing but Jesus Christ as Lord and Lord alone. A few minutes ago, we sang a beautiful arrangement of the psalm designated for today, Psalm 95, beautiful arrangement by Fanny Crosby. I'd like to read the words of this psalm to you so that you can hear the words, which are a little different than the ones that Fanny did in her arrangement. And this time you can listen to them. You won't need to be preoccupied about when you join in with the choir to sing the refrain. So hear then the first seven verses of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry lands. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Now, this psalm is sometimes referred to as the Venite, which is based on Latin for the opening words, O come. We are invited to come and be joyful, to come and be grateful, to come and worship the Lord. The words of this beautiful psalm have been used as a call to worship for hundreds of years throughout the church's history. And these words are actually part of the matins or morning prayer service, which you can find in your pew hymnal. Some Sunday morning before church starts, if you have a little time and you want to reflect, take a look at this service. Or if you want to add something new to your devotional life, give this service a try. It's short, but very beautiful. And going back even further than the history of the Christian church, the Israelites have used this psalm as part of their temple worship. This was sung by the people as they processed from the street, up the steps, and into the temple. Each one of the opening verses expresses exaltation and jubilation as the appropriate response to God, to a God who is the great ruler above all gods. Based on who God is and what God has done, each verse is a call to the Israelites to worship their God, as well as giving a reason for that worship. Three of the seven verses of this psalm begin with an invitation to the reader. Come, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, our Maker. The phrases come and let us imply that we have a choice. Put simply, that choice is, are we going to pay attention to God or are we not? Those of us present in this worship space this morning and listening to the lessons for Christ the King Sunday have made a choice to pay attention to God. We are here to praise and worship God. We have made the deliberate choice to get up this morning and come to church to sing, to kneel, to confess, and to give thanks before God. Some of us may have given up sleeping in this morning. Some of us may have given up sports that are now played on Sundays. Some of us may have given up going out for that daily bagel and coffee and a chance to sit down with a newspaper. This psalm reinforces for us that our worship is our response to God, response to God's sovereignty and to God's steadfast love and faithfulness. During their history, the Israelites experienced the end of their monarchy and the end of the line of King David. As a result, the psalmist thought it important to remind the people that the Lord is king over Israel, over God's chosen people, and over all creation. All of that creation that is seen and unseen. The psalmist tells the people that God cares for them in a very intimate way as God's chosen people, that they are the people of God's pasture and the sheep that God holds in God's hands. God, as watchful shepherd of the people, was the one who led the Jews out of slavery in Egypt, through the Red Sea with unmoistened foot, as the hymn says, and to dry land. Our confirmation class this morning is watching the Prince of Egypt, and we saw the portion of the film this morning where the Hebrews were led through the Red Sea. It's amazing. The response of the people as they reached dry land was to worship their God. They worshiped in response to God as their creator and as their savior. However, part of today's lectionary does not include the balance of Psalm 95. And I believe it's important for us to hear those words as well. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the desert. There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen all of my works. 40 years I loathed that generation, saying, the heart of this people goes astray. They do not know my ways. Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come into my rest. These words are an exhortation to God's people not to harden their hearts toward God as their ancestors did, as they journeyed through the wilderness after the Exodus. As hearers of this psalm today, we are called not only to make a joyful noise to God in praise for who God is and what God has done for us, but we are also called to offer our lives in obedience to God. Our bowing down before God in worship is not disconnected from hearing and heeding God's voice in any other part of our lives. Did you hear God's voice during the temple talk the other week given by Patty Coral about our Cop with a Shop program? Or did you hear God's voice this morning when Pastor Menser mentioned Shop with a Cop? If any of you have not participated in this program before, please consider doing so. It's wonderful. It will do so much to lift your spirits for the holiday season, and you will be a blessing to those children who are needy or at risk. We are in need of gift certificates. If you can give a donation to help the children have gift cards to buy presents for themselves, their family, and their friends. If you have time and can shop with the children, please consider that. Or if you can bake cookies or wrap gifts, we would love to have you. If you love shopping, baking, and wrapping for your own family, please consider doing the same for other children in God's family. Heed God's voice and be a part of Shop with a Cop. Or did you hear God's voice this morning when you read the bulletin announcement for the Christmas Star Tree Ministry? This provides a warm sweatshirt and socks for our breakfast fellowship participants. Has God blessed you and your family with warm clothes for this winter season? Perhaps you will consider responding to God's invitation to help someone who does not have these things. However, we need to remember again that heeding God's voice does not stay within these four walls or within the ministry of Trinity Church, but we are to go out into the world. Have you heard God's voice calling you to mission? Have you heard it in the cry of a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, or in the many voices of the oppressed and vulnerable around the world? I read some wonderful words written on this psalm that say, "The God who holds creation and God's people in God's hand also wants to hold our hearts in his hand, hold our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies. This God wants us to regard God's ways in times of explicit worship and in the remainder of life." Now, my standing up here and telling you what you ought to do, or shaming you into doing something, or making you feel guilty in order to motivate you does no good. God's call to obedience and the call to worship in today's psalm is just that. It's a call to us, an invitation, a call to us as God's people. The God that we worship is sovereign ruler over all the earth. And this God does not use God's power to get our allegiance or make us worship or give our obedience. Instead, our God issues an invitation to come and worship, an invitation to come and bow down, an invitation to come and give our allegiance. This God invites us to listen to God's voice today. It's an invitation that we can either choose to answer or we can choose to ignore. God extends this invitation to each of us, knowing the risks involved. As the Israelites did in the wilderness, we may choose to harden our hearts at any time. Nevertheless, our God gives us the freedom to respond. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God, a great ruler above all gods. In your hand you hold the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for the Lord is our God. And we are the people of God's pasture, and we are the sheep of God's hand. Today, amidst all the voices that vie for our time, our attention, and our allegiance, another voice is calling us to come. Come and worship the God who created us and who shepherds us. The choice is ours. How will we respond? That's okay.